Israel is a malignant, cancerous tumor in the West Asian region that has to be removed and eradicated. Let me repeat that. Israel is a malignant, cancerous tumor in the West Asian region that has to be removed and eradicated. Incredible, isn't it? Those were the words of the so-called religious leader Ayatollah al-Khamenei, the supreme leader of Iran, speaking in 2018. That's just last year, my fellow Americans. A cancerous tumor is Israel. And there is such a thing as a peace process? I don't think so. So much of the Arab and Islamic worlds think that way. Israel and the Jews who live therein must be eradicated, and there is this new form of anti-Semitism known as anti-Zionism. Anti-Zionism. Are you familiar with that? Hear the words of David Friedman, U.S. ambassador to Israel, who states the following. The more difficult form of anti-Semitism that has emerged, not more lethal, says Friedman, but more difficult, is anti-Zionism. Anti-Zionism. They mean it, these radical, hate-driven Islamists, and they wait for that special moment when Allah directs the all-out military attack against Israel, and consequently, the greatly desired eradication. Small wonder shelters are a requirement in all Israeli buildings, for a Jew living in Israel never, never, ever knows when the next strike will occur. Never. In recent years, anti-Semitism has been on the march in the United States. Following the Holocaust and the complete defeat of Adolf Hitler and Nazi Germany, there was a respite, a quiet time, where Jews in America were either ignored or tolerated or, in some rare cases, even welcomed. But that has changed. That détente and the oldest hatred now returns in the United States and even across the world. Jews, their synagogues and their homes, and of course their families at work in society, are not safe. They are not safe. Jewish cemeteries are vandalized, and so are synagogues. You know about the shootings, the awful massacres in synagogues, and Jewish recreation centers, and even Jewish homes. In many places of the world, it is just simply not safe to be a Jew. Louis Farrakhan, what a guy he is, Nation of Islam leader, is open in his hatred and disgust for the Jews. Louis Farrakhan calls the Jews satanic. Satanic Jews, he refers to. And at the same time, this hateful hypocrite denied that he was anti-Semitic. How could he? But shortly after those remarks, Farrakhan was banned from Facebook. Way to go, Zuckerberg. Farrakhan openly hates the Jews and would surely be a full supporter of any military action against Israel, supporting the new anti-Semitism, which is, again, anti-Zionism. They're both at work. The one against the Jews as people and persons, the other against the state of Israel. In France, 9 out of 10 Jewish students said they experienced anti-Semitism. In England, there were 1,652 documented anti-Semitic incidents. The president of the European Jewish Congress, Moshe Cantor, said that concerns over Jewish security and place in society has led to a sense of emergency with regard to persecution and physical assault. Boy, has it ever. But now emerges, now, Jewish leaders say, the new form of anti-Semitism, the ever-growing movement known as anti-Zionism. Israel simply does not belong to the Jews. It is not a Jewish state, so these people say. And all Jews who live therein should be resettled or, in an extreme situation, eradicated. And the land turned over to the Palestinians. Anti-Zionists will never rest until that happens. In the years after the Second World War, many Jews returned to the traditional custom of wearing kippahs, head coverings. They were proud to be Jews and to openly express their allegiance to Judaism by wearing the kippah. Now, many Jews refuse to wear the kippah for fear of physical assault to themselves or their families. Others, however, God bless them, proudly and defiantly continue to wear the kippah in America and across the world, refusing to be intimidated, even as Muslims wear burqas and other garb identifying themselves as Muslims. And Christians wear crosses. The Star of David, once proudly worn, now like the kippah, can be seen by anti-Semites as a sign that a Jew can be physically attacked or verbally assaulted. Anti-Semitism is indeed the world's oldest hatred. You know, there was a song written by musician Tom Lehrer in 1965, which contained the following lyrics. Oh, the Protestants hate the Catholics, and the Catholics hate the Protestants, and the Hindus hate the Muslims, and everybody hates the Jews. How about those lyrics? Everybody hates the Jews. Perhaps that was true not less than 20 years after the end of the Second World War, and perhaps that anti-Semitic hatred was always present, but really only latent, waiting to erupt at a future time. So many have regarded the Jews as a peculiar people, and the ideas that the Jews are the chosen people, special and set apart unto the God of Abraham, is absurd, further polarizing the Jews, creating more difficult misunderstandings, an active dislike or even the return of the old hatreds. During these times, there came about a new theological movement known as replacement theology. Israel was no longer the apple of God's eye, but rather the church. The church replaced the Jews. Such a movement led to the further marginalization of Christians and Jews, and of course, was itself a causative factor in the growing new hatred of anti-Zionism. If Jews and Israel were of less concern to God, both would be of less concern to mankind. So went the so-called reasoning. And then there was the movement BDS. You know about that one, I'm sure. Boycott, divestment, and sanctions against Israel. The nation of Israel, according to these bigots, was illegitimate, rightfully belonging, they said, to the Palestinians, and the Israelis should see to them, and move out, or face the consequences. Nations were urged to boycott Israel economically. All were urged to divest any economic investment or even social or cultural attachment to Israel. Every nation was urged to put sanctions in place with respect to Israel, and not other nations, and the Jews, and this satanic movement and philosophy continues to gain momentum even today. Small wonder the old hatreds continue to surface in even more lethal forms. It's really not a good time to be a Jew. But when anti-Zionism rears its ugly head, and persecution and even annihilation are threatened, the new Israelis live by their motto that the Holocaust or anything like it will happen never again. Never again. Never again. Even if the lyrics of musician Tom Lehrer reverberate the world over, that everybody hates the Jews. Boy, I don't. I sure don't. I love the Jews, and I hope you do also. And then there is House of Representative Rashida Tlaib. Tlaib is openly anti-Semitic, often expressing a virulent hatred for the Jews, accusing our very own country of favoring the Jews and Israel to the detriment of the Palestinian people, of which she is one. In May of this year, Tlaib openly stated the following, that she experiences a, quote, kind of calming feeling, whenever she thinks of the Holocaust. The Holocaust, where 6 million Jews were slaughtered. That produces a calming feeling in Representative Tlaib. For her and her Palestinians, perhaps, a form of ethnic justice was served, and the cleansing of the Holocaust was justice for them. The essential annihilation of this inferior people was an event to be applauded. Tlaib went on to say the following, that she was humbled by the fact that it was my ancestors, the Palestinians, that had to suffer to create a safe haven for the Jewish people. Really? It is truly amazing that this open, bizarre, and hateful anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism comes from the halls of Congress of the United States of America. But there she is, and along with Representative Omar and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, you know, AOC, the so-called Squad, represent really and truly an anti-Semitic group which the secular media promotes, even as anti-Semitism grows everywhere, including and especially college campuses. You are aware of that, are you not? Martin Niemöller was a U-boat captain in World War I. After the armistice, Niemöller became a Lutheran pastor and theologian in Germany. Ironically, he supported Adolf Hitler's rise to power in 1933. But Niemöller quickly realized what Hitler was, and by 1936 became sharply critical of him and the Nazis. He then organized a group of German clergy to resist Hitler, and he was arrested and imprisoned and kept in various concentration camps, including Dachau, but eventually was liberated by the Allied forces. Niemöller wrote a striking, unforgettable poem entitled First They Came. Boy, this one really got to me. Listen to these so truthful words which describe the horrors of the Nazis and hear their truth for today. Listen to them now. First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Isn't that powerful? First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and again, I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Words oh so true. There was the call then to speak out and act. There is that very same call today to speak out and act against all forms of anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism. But there really are not enough voices, especially among Christians and Gentiles, speaking out loud and concerned and echoing the words of the Israelis in 1948 that anything like the Holocaust would happen never again. Never again. And that's so no matter replacement theology, which right-thinking theologians know to be wrong. The Jews remain the apple of God's eye. They are indeed His chosen people. It is not for us, the non-Jew, to question why, but rather to accept the wisdom of the God of the ages and to respond as the Torah would have us do, blessing, helping, supporting, and loving the Jewish people, for if not, and if we curse them like Tlaib and Omar, we will be cursed in turn. We Christians believe in the life, ministry, and mission, the very special nature of a Jew from Nazareth. A Jew from Nazareth. And the day will come, says the Scriptures, when we will be united in Him. It is our Christian duty to support, protect, and defend them, the Jews, and their nation Israel. We should do that gladly and with all our might. In the interim, anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism continue to grow, becoming more acceptable and cool on college campuses. You know, it's just incredible how these young minds are being indoctrinated, twisted with anti-Semitism. The Islam of Tlaib, Omar, and Sarsour, among so many others, pervade college campuses because administrators and professors not only allow such, but they encourage it. Colleges and universities promote BDS. Even some Christian colleges promote replacement theology. And the movement grows, and the hatred grows, and soon enough, the anti-Semitic action will grow. It's not a good time to be a Jew. Tragically, Anti-Semitism and anti-Zionism seem to have permeated the Democratic Party. They walk the halls of Congress. This oldest hatred is alive and well in our very own federal government, and especially among the Democratic members of the House and even Senate. And Messrs. Pelosi and Schumer do really nothing about it. Ilhan Omar openly calls Israel an apartheid regime and states openly anti-Semitic tropes that American Jews pledge allegiance to a foreign country over their own country, America. Earlier this year, Omar tweeted that the support of Congress for Israel was all about the Benjamins. Isn't that interesting? All about the Benjamins. And of course she meant by that, rich Jews buy off American politicians and have undue influence as a result of their wealth. Ironically and tragically, there was no response or rebuke from Pelosi or Schumer. Unbelievable. But then there is President Donald Trump. Israel's view of Mr. Trump is of him as the closest friend that Israelis and Jews could have in the Oval Office. Trump moved the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. He recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights. President Trump has also openly condemned anti-Semitism in the most public of forums, unlike Pelosi and Schumer. Jews everywhere, and especially Israelis, are right to recognize that Trump is a friend and protector, no matter the open posture and hostility of the Democratic Party. Now, there are many, even millions of Christians who love the Jewish people, like me. Do you? Are you one? We are ready, and even now, watch men and watch women on the walls of Jerusalem. And we will not stand by silently in the face of anti-Semitism or anti-Zionism. It's not right. We will speak out and never become like Niemöller and allow the time to come when they, the anti-Semites who now come after the Jews, and the anti-Zionists to come after us. Israel belongs to the Jews. It is their promised land. In the Torah, the book of Genesis, the promised land is far larger, far larger, far greater than the present Israel. The Bible territory will in fact happen someday, even as we watch and pray. And as we do so, God is at work. His timetable is not ours, but that timetable will happen. And in the interim, my fellow Americans, and especially my fellow Christians, remember the divine promise. I will, says the Almighty, I will bless those who bless Israel and the Jews, and I will curse those who curse Israel and the Jews. So, which is it, my fellow Americans? Is it blessing or cursing? I, for one, choose blessing. So, a final word. Watch out, Representative Tlaib and Representative Omar. Watch out. And all like you, your day of reckoning will come.